The second scripture is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Paul was not a humble person. I think I can say that pretty categorically. So it's interesting to hear what he has to say here from Philippians 3. The 4B just means start with the second half of verse 4. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this word. It's been a while since I did a resume, I have to confess. Even longer since I did a resume that didn't look like a profile. Those of you on the search committee will know what I'm talking about there. But I remember how it was, you know, and I always wanted to get all the stuff you'd done. You know, you wanted to list out all the possible qualifications you had for this whatever job you were applying for. And then, when it ended up being 4 pages long, you had to go back and trim. And you had to, you know, be precise. Or as one of my friends used to say, you had to precisify it. Okay? Because no one was going to read more than a 1-page resume. That's what all the people were saying at the time. The resume, for business purposes, was meant for one purpose: to get this new job, to advance, to move on, to find something that might fit better with my skills, talents, and interests. But there's another kind of resume that Paul is talking about, and it's a faith resume or a God resume. Now, everybody here should write one of those too, right? You know, I've been chair of this for six times, and I served on this board 14 times, and I participated in 32 church cleanups. Got that in there. I was the moderator for 6 years. I was this. You know, I sang in the choir. I worked at the soup kitchen. I helped resettle the refugees. You can just go on and on. And some of these resumes would be really quite, you know, quite impressive. Quite impressive. I won't bore you, my resume, I mean, heavens, when I moved here
and applied to the Committee on Ministry to transfer my ministerial standing, they wrote me an email and said, could you give us about a quarter page summarizing, you know, your history? I wrote back and I said, well, one, at the time I was 69 years old, and I've had a lot of history, and two, I'm a preacher, and I don't want to say anything in a quarter page. So, anyway, but I came up with a nice bulletized, another key word, bulletized list, and it worked out. But no matter how impressive a resume may be, seminary, a continuing education, serving churches, being on boards. Of course, I had a life as a layperson as well along the way. And so, you know, I've chaired trustees, deacons, and outreach in various places. But, you know, I feel kind of like Paul. And he says, I regard all that as loss, because Paul's credentials were pretty impressive. You know, he had all the tickets of a Jewish believer in Christ, and he said he came to regard it as loss. As a matter of fact, he regards them as rubbish. And I had a professor in seminary who assured me that rubbish was the nice term to translate what Paul really said there. And that doesn't mean that the stuff that we've done isn't important. Okay? Everything that we've done, you've done, any of us done for the church, for the faith, for missions, all of that is important. But when stacked up against knowing Christ and having Christ in your life, Paul says, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We don't gain seniority in the faith by doing things. I guess preachers always would like to say that, you know, that if you do things, you'll be elevated somehow. But that's not the way God in Christ works. God in Christ comes to us, offers us a free gift of self, and hopes that we accept it. Paul did not think he was a finished work. Even his seeking after Jesus, even his seeking after faith wasn't finished. He says, I want to know Christ. I still want to know Christ, even though in a lot of ways he knew Christ as well as anyone in his day. He knows, as we do, that we have to somehow get all of our expectations and all of our baggage and all of our accomplishments out of the way and say, here I am. Here I am, God. Accept me. And the joy of it is that God accepts us however we are. However we are. The title of the sermon, Not I, but the Wind That Blows Through Me, is the title of a book that I read many, many years ago. And I don't remember a thing that it said, except that it said, it's not what we do. It's what Christ does. God does through us. That's the key thing that will make a difference in the world. Well-intentioned as we may be, we don't always have the joy of knowing exactly what the best thing to do in terms of what God would want. And so we have to step back. I mean, if I'm good at A, I might, well, Abraham Maslow, psychologist here, he said, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to regard every problem as a nail. Okay? And I think in some cases we are. If I'm good at cleaning up around, I tend to think of that as the most important thing. And I tend to think that that is my entire gift to give. But there's more. God has given us each a great set of gifts and possibilities and asks us to devote them to the service of God through God's people. Paul said he does not consider that he has made any of this his own. But what he says is that I'm going to forget what lies behind. I'm going to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. Strain forward to what lies ahead. You know, even when you're turning 100, there's still something lying ahead for you. Still something ahead. Many of us have found that out. He presses on for the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And that, not building a resume and not trying to decide how we rate or how we stand, it's not the important thing. The important thing is to move forward toward the goal of coming closer to Jesus Christ and thus closer to God. May it be so.